And welcome to Hope Chats. This is episode 5. Glad you could be with us, whether you're watching this live or maybe the recording. Today, our topic is choosing joy, and it's part 2. This is a 2-part mini series. And our special guest is, once again, Mackenzie. Hey, Mackenzie.
Hello, Jim. Hi. Hey.
Glad you could be here again on Zoom. I know I super appreciated your content last week, and from the Facebook responses we were getting, I think others also were really just appreciating what you were sharing on joy. So thanks for being here again today.
Yeah, thank you.
So something you mentioned last week, if you haven't watched part 1, I encourage you can just stop this and go back to part 1 and then go to part 2. But something Mackenzie mentioned last week, so Mackenzie, I'm going to ask you this.
Okay.
When I asked you to share about yourself, you said you're a science nerd.
Yeah.
A dance nerd. I've never heard those two words put together, and I thought that was awesome. I love it. I don't know what a dance nerd is, but I think that's so cool. You like fairy tales, and then you're into gardening. Right now, being springtime, I just had a question. What are you doing in the garden? Like, are you flowers? Are you doing vegetables? Like, what does that look like?
So this is my first year gardening. And so we're watering lilacs. So I've been watching those grow. Some of them die. And pea plant, that's been my new exciting thing, is to go out in the morning and to see how much the pea plants have grown. And then green beans, they just started kind of sprouting up, and they're these little like curly stems just like coming up out of the ground that are so strong. So yeah, I like watching the seeds sprout.
That's awesome. Cool. Yes. With the springtime, it's just so cool to see what's coming up out of the earth. And that's awesome that you're sharing that. It's one of the things you enjoy doing, one of your passions.
Yeah.
So before we jump into today's content, I do want to mention for anyone who's listening live on Facebook or YouTube, if you do have any questions during today's live stream, feel free to put it in the chat box. I'll be monitoring both of them. And depending on the question, we can respond to the question during the content, or at the end of this video, we can hit on the live stream. So I just want to mention that if you have any questions, feel free to write both now or during or at the end. So, well, let's dive in for our content today. So Mackenzie, we're on part 2, a 2-part mini series, but can you remind us of why joy is so, so important?
Yeah. And you said so, so important. And I think it's so, so, so important that I'm going to rehash a couple of things. But I'm going to try to reframe it, because I think it's good to look at joy from a lot of different perspectives so that we can have a fuller view of it. So joy is, we talked about how joy is important for a lot of different reasons. So one is that your brain needs to be in a rhythm, a kind of pattern of joy and peace in order to actually learn well. So kids who don't have like really joy and peace tend to do poorer in school, for example. You need joy in order to be creative. And one thing that we talked a lot about was how you need to have joy in order to not get overwhelmed by different large emotions, or to get overwhelmed by life. And so it helps you to stay, if you are strong in joy, it helps you to stay consistent in who you are, despite what's coming at you. You have that emotional strength. And so those are different reasons why joy is important. And I'd like to just talk a little bit about, remind ourselves of what joy is. So we talked about how joy isn't necessarily a feeling that you stumble upon, but it's something that you need to cultivate and you need to grow. And so the amount of joy that you have is directly correlated to how strong your joy muscle is. And so I study neuroscience, so I'm going to give you that fancy name for the joy muscle. And it's right up here. It's called the right prefrontal orbital cortex. And so if you have a really small or a non-existent joy muscle, prefrontal orbital cortex, then you can't easily experience or choose joy. And so it's kind of just like working out. If you want to work out and you're like trying to lift heavy weights, you can't do it if you haven't ever worked out before. And then you actually need to keep on working out in order to continue being able to lift those weights. So your joy muscle is just like that. You need to work it out, but you need to also keep on using it, or your brain is going to kind of erase that part of your brain that allows you to have joy. And so we talked about, well, how do we grow in joy then? How do we develop a strong joy muscle? And this part of your brain, it grows best, not when we're eating food or watching videos or what all this sort of stuff, but actually when we are engaged in joyful relationships. So joy really is relational. It is grown relationally. And so I kind of touched on how there are different seasons of our life where our brain is really ready to grow in joy. We can grow joy at any point in our life, which is part of the hope in this, but there are different seasons where there are growth spurts. And so I'm just going to illuminate one of those so it can help give us a fuller picture of what joy is. And so Jim and I, we talked about last week how around like 9 months of age, babies, their biggest goal is to seek joy. And they seek joy by looking for a smile on someone's face. And the smile that sort of lights up someone's eye. So they actually look at the person's eye to know whether or not it's real joy. And they basically, little babies from like 9 to 12 months old, they are working out like crazy. They are growing that part of their brain. Every time they smile at you and then they take a little rest and then they come back to it, they are preparing themselves to have strong joy, to be able to handle life better when other emotions start coming in the way. So that's a really critical period of our life. And I think that this really helps us to understand what joy is. Joy isn't a feeling. Joy is a sense of security in relationship. Joy means somebody is glad to be with me. Somebody delights in me, even though I'm not doing anything at all. I am just a creature to be delighted in, and I didn't have to do anything for that. And so in that way, I think of joy, it's like I said, it's not just a feeling that we're looking for, this high elation. It provides a sense of peace and security to know that you're at home with someone who's protecting you and who loves you. And so that provides us the context to keep on growing in joy for the rest of our lives. We need that. And then we can start experiencing like negative emotions and learning how to recover and get back to joy from that. But it's all from a place of secure relationship. So that's, I guess, a little bit of a different way of talking about it than we talked about last week. But we talked about last week how if people, they didn't get this when they were growing up, or if they got this, but then they didn't get it, it didn't, their joy didn't keep on getting exercised or stimulated by their family and their community around them, then this part of their brain grew weaker and it kind of went away. And that's what we see in a lot of people, unfortunately. It happens with people who've been traumatized, but it also happens in a lot of other families that we don't talk about as being traumatic. It's just that families didn't exactly know that joy was meant to be relational. And so instead of helping children get back to joy, back to relationship, they handed them food, or they dismissed their emotions and told them to get over it. Or they told them to go do an activity or something like that. And it's trained us, for those of us who maybe are traumatized, to not trust relationship to be the thing that's gonna return us to joy. And so we go to other things, or other people just to never have had that practice. And so when we experience something negative, we go to our phones, we go to food, we go to activities, we do anything except for engaging with each other and sharing joy with each other. And so that's just a redefining of what joy is, a place where we know that joy is found in relationships and there's a safety and there's a security there. So, yeah.
Wow, that's great. Thanks for the recap and then sharing some new things in there on joy and that whole process. Yeah, I appreciate, I mentioned this last week, just your vulnerability and transparency. It was just, I heard a quote once, if you want to impress people, share your strengths. If you want to connect with people, share your weaknesses or places. And I feel like you connect really well because you share places of like, hey, you know, I used to be in this place, but you know, with God's help, I've been growing from that. And just the hope that process is. I did want to ask you, so you might, I'm sure some of us, even today watching this or the recording, have these negative emotions and difficult things going on. And and you want joy, but you're somewhere else and you're feeling like, how do I get back to joy? So how do we learn to recover from negative emotions, specifically like shame or fear, which so many of us can struggle with or potentially feel like we're just stuck with?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, this is something we kind of touched on last week, but I'm just going to expand on because I think it's worth repeating and doing that. So in order to recover from these negative emotions, we need to have it modeled for us. We learn in the context of relationship. The other day, Colin and I were praying and I felt like God said, it's not in the resources, but it's in the relationships. And I just thought that was so true to my experience. I'll just give an example of how like someone can kind of recover from shame. So, during your infant sort of maturity, you're supposed to gain that sort of security and someone's letting you know in you and that joy. And then you're actually supposed to start learning and establishing, how do I get back to joy from all of the negative emotions? And so those negative emotions are like shame, fear, disgust, sadness, anger. And then there's one more that Colin and I were talking about that we couldn't remember. So if anyone knows, they can type it in the chat thing. I kept forgetting it. So we'll give an example of this. So let's say there's a 2-year-old, right? And they are starting to get really adventurous and start wiggling around a whole bunch. And let's say they accidentally discover that they can put their hand in their diaper, you know? And then they come out with their hand and they wave it around and they've got something sticky on their hand. And the first thing that the child, you know, like the child will look at the mom's face. And if you look at the left side of someone's face and your right prefrontal orbital cortex is engaged, you can tell whether or not they're lying. And so those kids can see, oh, mom's disgusted right now. And that is one of the first times that they've ever seen anything from the person who used to be so delighted in them all of a sudden isn't so glad to be with them. And that shakes their security and their joy. And so a child will then start experiencing and expressing shame on their face. And so a mom who knows what to do in that sort of situation isn't going to, depending on how much sleep she's gotten, isn't going to yell at the child and be like, why would you do that sort of thing? Or like, you're disgusting and go clean up yourself, that sort of thing. But instead be like, oh, you're experiencing shame right now. I'm connecting with that. Okay, I know what to do. Don't worry, we can clean this up. And it's going to be okay. We're going to clean it up. Let's not do this. It creates and I love you and I'm glad to be with you. And so there's a simple example of how a mom being with their child teaches them how to return to joy and to relationship from a place of shame. And so this sort of thing needs to get repeated hundreds and hundreds of times for it to be well worn in the infant's brain that when something wrong goes happen with shame, with fear, with any of these emotions, I know who to go to because they're safe. And I know that there's hope, that there is a way out. What's unfortunate is in our society, is many of us, our culture is relatively okay with getting back to joy from sadness, but from the other emotions, we don't typically know how to deal with them pretty well. And so even our families maybe don't. I came to Christianity not knowing how to get back to joy from any of these emotions. And it was really in the context of relationships that people started teaching me. And there wasn't one person who knew every single emotion that was going to walk with me and teach me everything. But there were some people who were really excellent at returning to joy under conditions of despair, some really good at returning to joy from fear, and all this sort of stuff. So last week, Jim, you asked me, you said, sometimes you feel like trapped in fear. Are you ever able to get out of fear? And I think I only half answered your question, but I'll try to fully answer it now. And so my answer is sometimes. When I first came to Christ, I could not get myself out of fear at all to save my life or any emotion at all. But after a while, through the help of mentors and friends, I started learning how to verbalize my fears and how to get back to joy and how to get back to relationship with that person, but also with Jesus. And so there are now, there are some times where I have fears and I'm like, I know how to handle this. I'm good. I know how to get back to joy. This is easy. But because I have experienced trauma, and because my joy muscle is not as, it's growing in joy and it's growing in strength, but it's not incredibly strong, that sometimes I do get overwhelmed with fear and I don't know what to do. But it is well worn in my brain to text one of my mentors and say, hey, can you pray for me? Can you whatever? So even this morning, this isn't fear, but this is something that happens. I was feeling really angry and I didn't know how to deal with it. So I texted one of my mentors and she just called me. And within like a minute, I was in a mode of feeling compassion and love. And then by the end of the phone call, I was really connected to Jesus. And so that's the type of person that you want in your life that doesn't lead you into dependence on them, but teaches you how to get out of this and then back to Jesus. So that's basically how we get out of these things. It's not by striving and trying to do it on our own and beating ourselves up when we fall into pits of anger or fear or despair. Is to say, you know what, I don't have this skill. Maybe there's someone who does. I need to grow in community and ask God to provide someone who can teach me.
That's so good. I just love the emphasis you keep putting on just, and you're talking about resources and relationships, but how everything keeps coming back down to relationships.
Yeah.
Right, for having joy. I heard it once said that your resources are your relationships. That almost like that actually is the most, like we often think of like whatever things or material or your bank account, but the most important thing is actually your relationships. So I really appreciate that reminder, where it's so easy just to go to a bunch of other things, you know, to try to get some kind of maybe dopamine or rush or some type of joy, but it's not bringing you to a place of the relational joy you're talking about. And thanks for sharing about the shame and fear and your personal struggle. And now, that sometimes you're able to go back to joy. Sometimes, you know, you're still working on it. So I appreciate your transparency and sharing, Mackenzie. So thank you. So our mission here at New Hope Community Church is growing towards maturity in Christ. Mm-hmm. So how does joy fit into growing in maturity? What does that look like?
First of all, I love that that is our mission statement, and I keep on growing and loving that more and more and more the more that I learn about joy and what maturity actually is. So I've been learning a lot from Dr. Jim Wilder and his kind of team, and so I thought it was really cool. They mentioned how they got really interested in maturity, and they first started looking at the Bible to see like what ages are different stages of maturity, what needs to happen during them. And they discovered that the neuroscience that was coming out about it fit perfectly, even down to like the month and the year of what scripture was saying, which is really cool, at least to me. So so there are several different stages of maturity as far as I know. So there's infant, child, adult, parent, and elder. So I'll just give a little overview on what maturity is, and then I'll talk about how joy connects. So basically you can't have someone who's like 2 years old be in the adult level maturity because their brain's like not ready for that sort of thing. But you can have the opposite. You can have an adult, someone who's in a 40-year-old body, have the maturity of a 2-year-old. And the way that that happens is when someone's environment doesn't cultivate someone's maturity, and when that person doesn't respond to their environment well and do the tasks needed to grow in maturity. So for each stage, there are different things that the community and the family especially need to provide, and then for that person to respond to in order to grow. So a simple one, but one that I've seen before and I've heard other people talk about is like children need to learn how to verbalize their needs. And so I've heard of stories of adults who don't know how to verbalize their needs, and they'll just like grunt or they'll like cry or whatever if they like need a glass of water because they haven't been taught that skill in the child level maturity. So it's just really important for us to have that. Maturity is kind of like Swiss cheese. It's like you can have some part where you're really good, and then all of a sudden there's a hole with something that you didn't get. And so there's no shame in us not being at a certain level of maturity. It's just like, oh, there's something that I missed that I need to fill in. So joy and maturity. So with one of the like integral or foundational, I guess, parts of maturity is at the infant stage. And that's what we've been talking about this whole time, is the joy in someone delighting in you and the joy of recovering from different emotions. And we talked about how a lot of people don't seem to have that worked out really well. And what happens with that is if we don't have that part of our foundation, then we start building a house, the house gets shaky, and it will eventually fall down. Or it's not secure, and there are a lot of holes, and when the rain comes in, there's a flood inside the house, just that sort of thing. And so we need to make our foundation really secure in joy, so that when we start trying to take on, if we're an adult and we're at like an infant level maturity, if we start taking on adult tasks, we're going to experience them not with joy and not with peace, not with rest, but with insecurity, with fear, with burnout. And that's what happens a lot of times when we don't have the level of maturity to match the things that we're trying to do. So joy is something that's needed at the infant stage. It's something that you grow in throughout your life, but it's also, if you're struggling with it, it's an indicator that maybe you're wearing like a pseudo maturity, like a mask of I'm trying to operate out of an adult level maturity, but really I'm at a child level maturity, not because I did anything wrong, but because of what I didn't receive. So I have some places to go back and to grow so that I can experience adulthood with awesome joy. So, yeah.
No, that's great. And I appreciate, even though I'm not a huge fan of actually eating it, I love the imagery of the Swiss cheese. I've just never gotten this Swiss cheese. But just the holes in maturity, you know? So it's like, hey, it's going on. Whoa, you know, just I think of something like falling through a hole in Swiss cheese. But yeah, I appreciate that imagery and just thinking of, because we all have places to grow, right?
Yeah.
Yes. None of us have this all. Hence why the vision statement is growing towards maturity in Christ, together and doing that. And which requires relationships, right? To do something together, you got to be in relationships, growing together towards maturity in Christ. I appreciate you so much for sharing that and the way you're breaking that down and just the process of the maturity with joy fitting in. So this has been a lot of great content both today and also last week. What are some practical takeaways from all of this? What are some things you really just put into practice and start applying even today?
Yeah. So the first thing is there are a couple of resources that you guys can look at. So if you want to know where you're at with your maturity and just seeing what you did and didn't receive, there's a link to Life Model Works. They have you get a chance to look at it and assess it. And then you can kind of pray and think about, okay, God, can you provide some people in my life who know these skills and who can teach me so that I can grow in them? And then there are also two videos kind of describing more fully the infant and child level maturity in case you're just confused about what is needed there to grow. And then just some practical things. They're really just practical questions. And so my first question is, do you know how to get back to joy from all of the negative emotions, from shame, from fear, disgust, anger, and sadness? Do you know how to get back to joy within like 2 minutes? And if you do, then is there someone that you can kind of reach out to who doesn't have that skill and you can help teach them? And if you don't, can you prayerfully ask God to provide someone in your life who can teach you not necessarily all of these, but some or one of these so that you can grow? The next question is, do you know where your maturity is? And the same thing is, what did you receive? What didn't you receive? So what can you ask God to provide people in your life who can teach you? And what can you teach others? And then the last sort of question is, what does your community look like? So do you spend 3 hours a week and you're all getting together and it's just joy, but you have unresolved emotions throughout the rest of your life and you're not talking to anybody about it? Or do you have a community that facilitates vulnerability and growth? It's good to be wise about who you're open with, who you're sharing with, to make sure you don't overwhelm them or you're not becoming dependent, to make sure that they want it. They want to be in that sort of relationship and that God is in it. But yeah, transformation doesn't happen when we're just putting on a mask all the time and we're pretending to be joyful. Transformation happens when we're vulnerable and we're saying, I don't have this skill. I'm stuck. I'm freaking out. I need help. Do you know how to get me back into relationship with God in this sort of situation? So yeah, just think about your community and your own personal life, where you need to be poured into and who you can pour out into.
So that's incredibly practical. Thank you, Mackenzie. And once again, we get back into relationships, right? There's real no shortcut fast food way for trying to go around a relationship to get there, right?
No, it's discipleship.
Bam, there it is. Discipleship, relationship, mentorship. Really great practical questions, the reflection questions. The resources are in both the chat box, as you mentioned, on YouTube and Facebook. Also, it's in the description. So I encourage you to check that out. As we're wrapping up our time, Mackenzie, any other thing, any other closing thoughts or whatever? You hit on a lot of great content today. Thank you so much for taking the time to prepare for last week for part one of Choosing Joy. And if you haven't seen that yet, go check it out. It's on YouTube and Facebook. And then also thank you for preparing for part two right now. Well, would you mind just closing our time together in prayer and just praying for those who are watching live in the recording and asking God's blessing on them?
Absolutely. Yeah, God, thank you so much for who you are. I'm thinking of a garden. So we're starting our time with garden, ending our time with a garden. I'm thinking of a garden with a lot of weeds, and that God wants to till out those weeds and plant in new seeds. And he's going to cultivate the ground so that there can be a garden full of lots of different plants. All of us are different and there's diversity there, and he wants us to thrive and to grow. So God, I pray that you would weed out the things that are not of you, the things that we learned that are not healthy, not good. And I pray that you would cultivate good and healthy soil for us to receive the blessings that you want to give us in the forms of people, in the forms of your spirit, God. Everything, help us to be open and ready to receive and embrace who you fully are. Please comfort those who are watching and give them strength and encouragement and great hope as they continue on this journey. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Well, thank you once again, Mackenzie, for just preparing and sharing the last 2 weeks. And thanks for those who are joining in live and watching the recording. I hope you've been really encouraged. I know I've been encouraged with just even being part of these hope chats. And if you find it helpful, feel free to share it with friends, whether you want to grab the YouTube link or Facebook. It's so nice. Social media can kind of share it around. So if it's been helpful for you, you want to share that with someone else. So thanks again for joining us for Hope Chats. We're having hopeful conversations that are hopefully just lifting us up, especially in a time that it can be so challenging with COVID and quarantine and all the different things going on, that God is so good and hope is still alive, and his name is Jesus. So have a great day. We look forward to connecting with you next week.